I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the Fan, Anthony Allan, in for Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Hey, if you missed a moment in our show, use the rewind feature powered by the Odyssey. Excuse me. Let's try that again. If you missed a moment in our show, use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app, powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. All right, we've discussed LeBron. We've discussed the weekend series from the Guardians and the trade deadline ahead. We haven't touched on the third team. And frankly, on Friday, the last time that I was on, we literally like offhand mentioned the Browns. And so I did want to see if there was anything about the Browns that we could talk about today. And I found quite a lot. So we bring on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline, Dylan Feltovich of Browns Wire. What's going on, man?
Not much, just watching the USA struggle right now, so could be doing a lot better, but we're here.
Okay, so before we get into the Brown stuff, were you a big soccer fan coming into this thing?
So I do have a little bit of background in it because my sister played for basically all of her life. So my family has kind of integrated me into being a soccer fan, so technically, yes.
Okay, so I've like kind of parachuted in on this thing, but I mean, the last World Cup, I was in college. It was in Qatar, so we were, like, drinking mimosas at 9 o'clock in the morning on, like, a Wednesday watching these games. Like, I had a great time watching it, and now it's been so much fun with, like, watching USA do this whole thing. So I've, like, I'm carpet-bagging the sport, but I'm having a great time with it.
You know, and that's completely fine, too, because, okay, you know, you're at least supporting, you're showing out for your country. I think it's a good thing. I don't get why people get so upset about people just hopping in whenever the World Cup comes on or anything like that. Like, it's all good, you know?
Well, it's like, I'm a baseball guy, and when people came in for the World Baseball Classic, like, I wasn't upset about it. It's more attention on baseball. It's a sport that I love. Like, it's a great tournament. I have no issue with that. All right, let's get to the Browns. You had an article come out earlier today or yesterday. I forgot which one it was. About the 2024 class being a whiff? What?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the six draft picks that we had, and I know obviously it's not a lot. That was the last year that we didn't have a first-round pick. But when you go in depth with it all, it was a mess. You know, the first pick that they had and that they made was in the second round. They ended up taking Mike Hall, and clearly that hasn't worked out. I mean, considering that they ended up having to go out and draft Mason Graham in 2025 with a first-round pick, too, that's never a good sign. And then you kind of look at the rest of it, too. You know, one of the best players from that class isn't even on the team anymore in Juwan Briggs. And he's been an impact player for the Jets over this past season. And to me, it was a complete dud, you know, and you know, at the same time too, I think that I've given Andrew Berry a lot of praise. And I think that he'd done a great job these past 2 years, but I do think it was kind of interesting to reflect back on these past draft classes that we had and how it kind of impacts the roster building and moving forward, how it looks. And it was definitely interesting to go back through there. And especially when you're in this dead season now, you kind of have to look for different topics to talk about, but yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. So when I first saw the article, I'm like, come on, man, that was 2 years ago. Like, how can we really evaluate all this? And then I saw, you know, Mike Hall, I don't know. I'm still holding out hope on him. I know he had a really, really rocky start. It was his own fault, but his rocky start to his NFL career. And then I saw Zach Zinter's Jamari Thrash, Nathan Watson, and I went, oh, my God. Okay, that's where he's coming from here.
Yeah, no, it was not pretty.
So you mentioned, like, over these last 2 years since that draft, it's been, you know, stars and stripes from Andrew Berry. How have you seen them kind of learn from 2024 and sort of improve to where we're having these all-star studded drafts?
I think part of the big difference that I've seen wasn't necessarily from the 2024 to the 2025 draft, but more of the 2025 to 2026, because when I look at it, and this is probably just my personal opinion, I think the 2025 draft and the 2024 draft were more suited towards the style of play that Kevin Stefanski liked, because when I look back at even, you know, before the 2024 draft, everyone talks about Anthony Schwartz and how we ended up going out and getting Elijah Moore and stuff and Jamari Thrash in 2024. Those are those like type of, they're the same wide receiver with the same skill set kind of thing. And to me, I look at it like, okay, that was something that most likely Kevin Stefanski was searching for. Now, when you flip the script though to the 2026 season, it's a lot different. You see that one, Andrew Berry is heavily focused on the offense, which is something that we did not see in previous drafts. You know, you also got three guys in the top three picks that you had were offensive players and stuff. And I think, too, just the style is a lot different compared to the old coaching staff. And now you're starting to see this new structure come in. And even with, like, the late-round picks in 2026 with all the tight ends, you know, that's something that I think was very suited towards a guy like Todd Monken coming in, because it's definitely his style that he likes to run a lot better.
So outside of that, the big like actual Browns like news piece of information today was the Deshaun Watson insurance money that the Browns are getting. Just an insane amount of money. How big of a story do you feel like that is, and how much that's going to help the Browns moving forward?
I mean, that's significant when you're looking at the future outlook for this roster and stuff, because to me, I mean, everyone, when you talk about the Browns and stuff, the first thing that everyone mentions is the awful contract of Deshaun Watson and stuff. But now when you get that ability to gain some of the money back, you're able to make so much more of a difference when you're looking at it from a rebuild perspective, because the biggest thing is when you're kind of in this stage where you don't necessarily are going to be making the playoffs and, you know, you're...
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
You're still trying to figure out the quarterback position. You want to definitely bring in young guys and have that rookie contract, but at the same time, too, you need to have a healthy blend of veterans. And to me, I think that you are starting to slowly see the signs of these veterans coming in. I think specifically on the offensive line, you really saw that this offseason. But this kind of gives you the ability to go out there and start taking more swings in the free agency. And then even on top of that, too, you can go out there and potentially discuss even a bigger trade if you really wanted to, because now you have so much more cap flexibility. And if someone already has a big contract or is expecting to get a big contract, you're able to do that. So I think that it's going to have a huge difference on the future outlook for the Browns.
There was an ESPN article earlier today that ranked the teams based on their roster 1 through 32. And as you mentioned earlier, it's the offseason. It's kind of the dead period. So you're kind of looking anywhere for content. But the Browns were put at 31st, and a lot of it had to do with the quarterback situation. I think that kind of makes sense to people. It's not shaping up to be a great quarterback room. Do you feel like they have the second worst roster in all of football, or is that an exaggeration?
No, I definitely think that's an exaggeration, because to me, I understand that the quarterback position is one of the most critical pieces to a team in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. That's how it is right now in this day and age of football. But at the same time, too, if you look at the whole complete roster, there are so many talented guys. And yes, a lot of them are still unproven. You talk about the rookies that are coming in and are set to have a big impact, and the guys that are making their second-year jump. Yeah, they're not obviously going to be these big stars or anything like that. But at the same time, it's still a very well-rounded roster. I think that the offense is definitely still in the works. Obviously, you already mentioned the quarterback position. But at the same time, too, I still think, like I said, the offensive line got a little bit better. even though you got rid of Myles Garrett, you still retooled the defense with guys like Jared Verse, and then also, I mean, he smacked it out of the park with a couple of these draft picks in 2025 with Mason Graham and Carson Schlesinger. To me, this is not a terrible roster. Sure, the quarterback position is a disaster, and we don't know what's going to go on. But at the same time, if you're going to go and take a full, you know, extended look at this, it's really kind of putting itself together. I definitely think that there are some other rosters out there that are way worse and are in a worse position than the Browns are.
So do you feel like the reason why it's like a value, because again, it's a couple of people's opinions, but I'm guessing that the national sentiment is that the Browns have one of, if not the worst rosters. Is it more so just what the quarterback spot is and that they traded Myles Garrett away, or are they just, there's too many unproven young players at key positions?
I think it's a combination of both because, yeah, I mean, the quarterback position, like I said, it's not good. We all know that. And I think the biggest thing is the national media will look at, okay, this is a disaster of a quarterback position, and, oh, they traded away their best player. It doesn't look good on paper, but then again, you have to look deep into the whole depth of the roster, every of the positions out there and stuff. But at the same time too, you know, you also have to realize that, hey, maybe Denzel Boston and Casey Concepcion don't take that big step that we need, or, you know, Carson Schlesinger maybe regresses and stuff. Like, there is sort of that element to it, but at the same time too, I don't necessarily think that when people are talking about, you know, the best rosters and stuff, they're really valuing these younger guys and even looking at kind of the whole landscape of the team.
So in that ESPN piece, they kind of did the projected offense. They did projected starters across all 22 positions, but at least on the offensive line, I found it was interesting. No DeJuan Jones, no Parker Brailsford. Do you feel like it's advantageous for the Browns to go with the veterans that they signed this offseason as opposed to the younger guys like DeJuan and Parker?
I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that they're kind of pivoting away from DeJuan Jones, mainly because we've already kind of experienced what DeJuan Jones is. We know how he is as an offensive tackle in the NFL. But I do think that a guy like Brailsford does deserve a chance. You know, I've been very adamant about having him being someone that gets time this year, because I think that when you look at the future outlook of this team, he's probably going to be someone included into that mix. And you also have to figure out too, you know, is this potentially a Zach Zinter situation, or is he going to be someone that could potentially be on the roster for however many years to come? Because again, you don't necessarily want to overpay for a center, considering that when you look at how the free agent market was this offseason with Linderbaum getting that massive deal from the Raiders, you don't want to be in that position. And since you're not necessarily competing for anything this year, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to go out there and try someone like Brailsford in that situation.
All right, Dylan Feltovich, Browns Wire, joining us on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Final question with you. Actually, no. We can't let you out without asking the question of who you think is going to be the week one starting quarterback. I'll get to the final question in a second. But who do you think is going to be the week one starting quarterback?
Oh, every time. So the last time I was on with you, I think I said Anthony Richardson, which that one was completely gone in the wind. Yeah, we're not. We'll just throw that one away. Never happened. You know, don't look back at it. But to me, I'm still in the Deshaun Watson camp for now. The biggest thing, too, is I don't want to listen to what coaches, players, or executives say about the current situation with the quarterbacks right now. Because in reality, we don't know how these guys are going to be once the season starts. We need to wait until training camp gets kicked off and we got preseason on, where we can truly evaluate these guys in a different light. Because it's one thing to be able to say, oh, hey, he looks good with no pads on, but it's a completely different ball game when guys have pads on and you got a full blitz coming at you and stuff. So to me, I think that I'm kind of just leaning towards the fact that they might just stick with the veteran and see maybe if they have something out of Deshaun Watson. I don't think that there is anything there necessarily, but I'm going to say Deshaun Watson for now.
All right, so I'll mark you down. March, whenever we talked, Anthony Richardson, and then July 6th, Deshaun Watson. I'm excited to see who it is the next time we speak. Hell, it could be Daniel Jones. All right, final question with you. People are kind of starting to do their fantasy football drafts and getting into it a little bit. Who would you take from this Browns roster in fantasy?
So that's funny that you mentioned I'm doing a dynasty startup right now, and I accidentally took like 4 Browns players, which that's going to be we're going to probably have to rebuild, and then we just started the league, but you know, it's whatever. To me, I honestly think that the best player that I have, I guess, the most hope for is Quinshon Judkins. You know, before the injury, I think he was terrific last year. Obviously, the efficiency wasn't necessarily there, but I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he was running behind one of the worst offensive lines. And I think that Todd Monken's scheme will definitely help him out in terms of his production. I definitely would probably smash Quinshon Judkins for a dynasty or even just redraft and stuff like that. That's my one Browns guy.
All right, Dylan, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the time with you tonight. Dylan, tell people where they can find you so we can get you out and you can keep watching this USA game.
Yeah, Browns Wire, you can find all my work there. And then on top of that, my socials, DY Felt, you can find me on Twitter, X, Instagram, whatever you like as your platform.
Dylan, you're gracious with your time as always. I appreciate it, and have a great rest of your night, man.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.